So WGN TV News did a poll a few weeks back. Ben Bradley came on to talk to us about it shortly after there and thereafter. And he said that when polling Chicagoans, they found that crime by far topped the list of concerns for this city. May not be surprising, but it's certainly top of mind. It's top of mind for State Representative Cam Buckner, who's trying to bring folks together about this. You're talking about it a lot, too. Representative, thanks for joining. Thanks for joining the show this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
You know, it's so troubling because I know you initially took to social media and really started another conversation on a Monday after another terrible weekend, and terrible by the number of people shot, terrible by the number of people killed, the four-year-old child that struck so many of us. Here's a four-year-old kid who's inside his house getting his hair cut, and he's shot and killed. If that child can't be safe, who can be? And that was sort of the launching point for what you had to say. Tell us what we can learn from that conversation.
Well, listen, I think that we are in a very painful and pivotal moment in our city. The headlines are telling the truth about what's happening here. And what I said and what I want to implore to folks is, you know, I'm from Chicago. This is not who we are, but this is absolutely where we are. It's the thing that we have to deal with. It's the elephant in the room and the thing that, you know, that we all have thoughts and ideas on. But we can't just continue to talk about, you know, solutions as if they're a one-off thing. We have to put all resources that we can bring to bear behind this. It is just disheartening, and it's a true travesty that, as you said, every Monday morning after a normal weekend or every Tuesday after a holiday weekend, we sit here and we talk about these numbers, and we're becoming numb to the fact that these are real people. We're becoming numb to the fact that the relentless drumbeat of death and violence is really gripping us and it has held us hostage. And so I think it's time for folks to stop pointing fingers and figure out a way to get to solutions.
But maybe some of the solutions do get to getting those folks together who don't seem to be talking with each other, but talking at each other. I'm thinking of police and prosecutors and the court systems who are all seemingly at odds from my perspective, and you know, not being necessarily accountable for their roles in the system. How much of that do you think can be fixed, or do you even see that as part of the problem?
I think it's pivotal. I think we have to have that to happen in order to move the needle, in order to you know, be able to address this in any real and any effective way. This is not all of our fault, but this is all of our responsibility, which means that we all have not done enough, whether that's, you know, the law enforcement community, the criminal justice community, whether that means folks who sit in roles like me. I'll be the first to highlight myself and say, what are you doing differently? What are you doing that you should be doing differently? We've all got to get to the table and start, you know, stop figuring, trying to cast blame on each other and figure out how we work together to get this under control. Because, as I said in the tweet that I think you're referring to, we are literally watching a generation die right in front of our eyes.
Yeah. And I saw that, and it struck me. This four-year-old Michael Moultrie was in the one I described that happened. Is that your district, Representative Buckner?
It was in Woodlawn on 65th Street, pretty much smack in the middle of my geographic middle of my district. I did not know him or his family, but when I read the headline, it really took me back to a place. Anna, you're from Chicago, like me. You grew up here, mm-hmm. And you know, I think about my development as a young man, and I remember the moments that I lost my innocence, right? And what I mean by that is when I realized that children were not being protected by adults. And I think about names like Siobhan Dean and Girl X and Yemi Sandifer, yeah, and Lenar Clark and Joseph Wallace. And when I had the epiphany as a, you know, young child that children may not necessarily be able to be protected, it changed the way I saw life. So now I think about these young people. I think about, you know, the Jasmine Adams of the world and the Mikal Moultries, as you just mentioned. And I can't imagine the trauma that these young folks are going through. I think when a society has failed to protect the youngest people among them, then we have failed at everything else.
And what is our plan, you say, for the babies who survived this weekend? It was so painful, again, to hear about this child, but then to hear his mother say, why won't somebody say something or do something? Somebody knows, and this is yet another case. And we've discussed some of the complexity reasons, the complex reasons why people don't come for it. But here we are again. I mean, you have a four-year-old child. It used to be, you're talking about back in the days of Girl X, you talk about a child dying. People in the community would say, we're going to cross all borders to do something about this. We're going to raise our hands. We're going to find this person. And the community support and speaking up is necessary to help in a situation like this.
That has to be part of the conversation. We know that it takes a village to raise a child, R-A-I-S-E, but it also takes a village to raise a child, R-A-Z-E, as in tear down, right? Mm-hmm. And so there are folks who need to step forward. In this particular matter, we can talk about the issues within our community, and we definitely have to talk about the violence that has happened to our communities in order to talk about the violence in our communities. But a person who can pull a trigger and take the life of a four-year-old, and at some point he's laying, or that person is laying in somebody's bed or in somebody's home or somebody's basement right now, that the community needs to be up in arms, and they need to, we need to all galvanize and get to a spot where we will let people know that the folks who have held our community's hostage will now be held accountable.
Representative Buckner, can you stick around for a minute here? You were also talking about vaccination rates, too. And so I have a couple other things that I just wanted to see if we could talk with you about. Representative Cam Buckner took to Twitter in some powerful words, and he's ready to put them into powerful action, I know, repairing the rifts in the relationship between communities and police, which includes acknowledging the wrongs of the past, finding ways to right them, challenging obsolete systems, and holding those who have held our communities hostage accountable. Give as much time, money, resources, and energy to eradicating this violence and creating this peace as we have with the other virus we are fighting. Our future depends on it, literally. Powerful words. I know you've gotten a lot of reaction. We need action, obviously. That's what we're talking about. Representative Buckner, what's next? What can you do? What can we do to help?
So I think we have to speak with one clear voice as a city to say what we will and will not tolerate, number one. I think number two, folks have to put, feelings and pride to the side and work in a singular fashion towards, once again, eradicating this violence, and not just eradicating this violence, but creating a peace in our city that we really all deserve. And I think thirdly, we have to have the mindset that no dollar amount is too big, that no technological advance or avenue is too ambitious, and that no resource cannot be used. We need to put everything into the pot here and figure out how to fix things. Right, we didn't get here overnight. We didn't get here because of one or two things, but we need to find a way to converge everything. And we won't fix it overnight, but we can fix it over time if we all pull in the same direction.
State Rep, you're in Springfield. You know the budget situation in Illinois. I think you mentioned all the resources and finances. Where does that come from? How do we get there to be able to find the allotment of money we need for a problem like this? And I agree, it is up there. It is the number one thing we need to be concerned with right now.
It's about priorities. I think the money is there. Listen, I know we live in a system in a society where folks often say, how are you going to pay for this? Or where does it come from? We have seen that when the opportunity is high and the situation is fraught with trouble, and we have no other choice, that we figure out a way to get things done. And so I would call on myself and my colleagues in the General Assembly, the governor, my friends and colleagues in the city council, the mayor, everybody to find a way to get this done. We can't say that we don't have enough money to fix this. Because what's happening is it's costing us way more to bury our children and to watch our city, be engulfed by the flames of violence and destruction.
Yeah, 100% agree. I just feel like where does it go? Because that's where it comes back to. You have a very unifying way of presenting solutions, and I think that so many others say, well, the money needs to go over here. It needs to go away from police, or it needs to go toward police. And we just had Alderman O'Shea on because he got together and he said, no, you know what? It doesn't have to be either or. It can be both, and it should be. And I think that's part of what gets us there, and it's kind of what you're speaking to, too.
Yeah, Alderman O'Shea, I didn't hear a second, but he's absolutely right on that. You know, we've got to stop playing these games and stop seeing each other and our solutions as competition. It's going to take a combination of effort, which means that we've got to find creative ways to put dollars and resources in places where they will work the most. I don't care where they go, Anna. I just care that they go somewhere that can be helpful. And that we're creating a better situation for our city.
We got a text here, 708. Why would anyone cooperate with the police, especially when they know the offender will be out the next day? It would be suicide to rat on someone. Your thoughts about that?
I get it. And I think that's a legitimate question. I know folks don't feel safe in their neighborhoods, and they feel that if they cooperate, that the person who who has committed this crime will be out the next day. But what I'm also saying is that if you're the lady down the street or the man in the grocery store who may know something, that's one thing. But, there's another situation here at hand is that if you're the mother or the father or the grandmother or father or the brother or sister of a person who pulled a trigger to kill a four-year-old, I think silence is in that case is just as deadly as the actual act.
State Rep. Buckner, we only have a minute or two left, and there's so much I want to get to, and I hope you'll come back on with me again soon. But the other thing you have been writing about, too, is vaccination rates in your district. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that with the few minutes we have left?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're slowly seeing many people who are reticent to get the vaccine ramp up their vaccination status. I think that's important. And what I want to do is make sure that people understand that if you have, especially in an African-American community, if you have questions and you're reticent, I think that that's logical, specifically based on the medical history of Black folks in this country. A lot of folks have found out for the first time about the Tuskegee experiment, but in the Black community, it's something that we grow up hearing about, right? A study in which rural and mostly poor Black men were infected with syphilis and had treatment withheld for decades. We know about forced sterilization of Black women and Black mothers across the country over time. And so people have legitimate fears, and those fears should be addressed. But we've got to also look at the seriousness of this virus. It is taking people out one by one, and it's not over. It's here to stay, obviously, and we got to find ways to combat it. I was a little nervous in the beginning about the vaccine at first, and I'm, you know, I say that out loud because I want to be vulnerable with folks about it. But when I look at what it's done, I had two elderly parents who both had very bad bouts with COVID. Both had to be in the hospital for a number of weeks, and my father did not make it. He died in April of this year. And so this, to me, is important. It's personal, and I just want to make sure that we give people the room to express their fears, but also to be logical about why this is important to get done.
I'm so sorry about your dad, Cam. I you know, you're such a good spokesman for so many things, and this is another way you can get the message out. Are you noticing more people coming forward lately? I'm just looking at data. It seems as if people who maybe were reluctant before are now coming forward. Are you seeing that near you?
I am. I'm seeing that a lot, and I'm seeing you know, constituents across my district from Streeterville down to South Shore who call in, and people who, you know, have built some trust with me, and they call in and talk. They talk about their fears, and then they, you know, decide to go ahead and get it. So a lot of, I think the needle is going to move now with people having personal conversations with people they know. People who have been vaccinated having conversations with the unvaccinated, and not saying, not shunning people for not having the vaccination, but saying, listen, this is why you should do it. This is the right thing to do. And so hopefully that will move us in the right direction. But I am seeing an increase in the recent weeks.
Yeah, good to see and good to hear. Hey, Cam, thank you so much for the time today. Thank you.
Thank you always. Appreciate you.